Welcome to the T-Theory Observations for the Sunday the 12th of July, 2009. This is Terry Laundrie, and at the request of most of you that I do this on Sunday, but rather than on Monday, so that you have a chance to look the material over, I'm satisfying that request. The chart that we have today only shows the breakdown below the black line, which is part of the extensive work that we did earlier in discussing the importance of if you can only be on the red line, the black line, on the green line, and if you break below the black line, you're going to wind up on the green line. Forecast of going to the green line is a given, but the green line is green line. For example, today is as of Friday's close, is shown to be at 824 on the S&P 500. However, going to the green line means that when you make the bottom, you are going to be at wherever the green line is at that time. And if the market's uncertainty here lasts for a while, that number is likely to vary. It if the market gets very weak, it will tend to drop down to a lower level. If the market can remain firm, which would be helpful for my long-term bullish case, then you'll find that the green line and the red line begin to contract, and the green line is actually starting to rise, so that at the time you make that coincidence, you're going to have a firmer market, and that would be bullish for the future. I don't want to talk too much about the I think we probably exhausted the subject of the of my envelopes. I did notice that Debbie had said that the best way to approximate what I did is to use the Keltner bands, and I did play with the Keltner bands on the stockcharts.com page. I'm a paid service, but I think you can get that for free as long as you don't ask them too many questions. You don't ask too much of the service, and then you get bumped up and they want money. And I would say, you know, the history of these bands is that John Bollinger came up with the A concept a long time ago. And those bands, to me, they're very terrible looking. They wander off in kinky looking ways. And I don't think you can make a good case for using them. Oh, I'm sure they're helpful in some regard. The Keltner bands definitely look like an improvement. But I still don't think they come to the ones that I developed. I came out of a conservation of energy principle, which comes out of physics, and I would discuss that. You can go slide back down. You'll be able to find that. I think that's in February with the oscillator. And I'm putting that in my forthcoming book, which is going to be Journey to Discovery of T-Theory, which is the whole time period from 1973 to the present, all the different concepts that I've come up with, and looking forward what I think it's all about. And so I just think that's a, you know, everybody has their version. But I know what this predicament is, that if you may want to apply this to something like gold, which I'm not doing any analysis on it, and it turns out that the Keltner bands look to me like they're the best. Debbie's a trader, a day trader, and I assume that she's probably applying these in TradeStation to, you know, 5-minute charts and that sort of stuff. But you could apply these things to long-term trends as well. The advantage of using something like Stock Charts or TradeStation is that you can roam overall. You can do mutual funds. You can do commodities, anything that you want. So I would pursue that. Now, there's some numbers that come after the Keltner band. They're parameters. And I think the first one, which is 20, at least on the stock charts, that refers to 20 time units. So if you're on a daily chart, it means it's 20 days. It looks goofy because mine are 55 days, and they're exponentially smooth. And I think that somehow or other the other people aren't quite doing that. But you might want to research. You know, just look it up in Wikipedia, Keltner bands, or read what they have to say about it, and you might be able to find out how to adjust some of those parameters that make it a little more to your whatever your needs are. Okay, so much for that. Now I'm going to discuss a bunch of things today. Chart doesn't really have much to do with it. One of them is the breakdown. The breakdown was confirmed last Tuesday because you had a sharp drop on negative. I mean, definitely went below the black line, and you had terrible breadth figures and volume figures at that time. So, you know, if that's a breakdown, that's a breakdown. That was confirmed, according to Mark Hulbert of the on MarketWatch, the next day on Wednesday, when he made a comment that Peter Laides, who, as I mentioned, had been was bearish on the market, basically, had put out a bulletin to the effect that he saw a confirmation of his bearishness. And it was, he's a cycle man, but he did it by a head and shoulders top pattern. And it had a downside projection of 822 on the S&P 500. That, you know, it's, that this, those numbers aren't guaranteed by anything which you have. However, on the 12th, when it broke down, my green envelope was at 820. So you got one estimate is 822, one is 820. Doesn't mean that that just because two numbers came out right, it's right. They could both be wrong. So you have to go on to the other aspects of, I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't prove anything necessarily, because the virtue of the trading bands is they are now going to adapt based on what they see as far as the energy is concerned as to whether we're starting to get into a definite bearish trend that's going to go down, you know, but down to the March lows, or maybe it goes below the March lows, or at which I would still contend that the outlook is bullish, and it does it by finding out what the energy is in the wiggles that we're now getting. And so if you watch the wiggles, you're going to figure out how this thing is going to be playing out. But basically, if you get a lot of spiking down, he says, that's considered to be a confirmation of a more bearish case. What will happen is that the green band will start to turn over, and it will try to drop away from where the S&P is, and this will cause the junction for the when the red S&P bars catch up with the green line, which is descending, you're going to end up with a number that's lower than 820. However, if it's bullish, what will happen is you won't get the energy on the downside that you might think from this forecast. And so you'll think things are starting to act better, and the better problem zones will allow the green band and the red band to contract closer to the black line, which will then flatten out. And what you effectively get is a lifting of the numbers. You can see, it doesn't mean anything right now, but the current lower green envelope is 824. So the market is coming from 822 to 824. Well, if you can do something that enables that number to keep climbing higher, you have a better case, because eventually that long cash belt line is going to turn into a new left side of a new T. And if that T is very long, it's going to come down to, there's going to be a showdown, and that is it a long cash buildup for a long bullish T that's going to resume the bull market in line with my advanced decline T forecast, or is it going to have a little pop-up and then collapse in the right side, in which you'll just go below you'll go down to the March low, or you'll go below the March low, because long Ts are potentially very bullish if they're bullish, if they have the amount of money. But if they collapse, they leave a big hole because of their long time span. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to figure it out. The best way to figure that out, though, is to watch the convergence of the trading bands, because it's more probable that the bullish forecast can come out if you start seeing something that's positive. I would just point out to you the fact that the market, you know, I will discuss another topic next, which I think is probably better to put in perspective. One of the reasons that I thought the market could hold it is because Richard Arms invented an indicator which was subsequently known on computers as TRIN, T-R-I-N, Traders Index. It's published everywhere. Many of us have done studies on the Traders Index, which is basically a volume versus breadth divergence analysis. And the numbers on the arms ratio are running very high, even coming down to the black line, which suggests that the market is being pummeled by selling, which is somewhat irrational, and we haven't gone very much below the black line. And that is a developing oversold condition. It's true that that process could give us a rally now, but I would just point out to you, if you go back into the August of 08, you'll see in the earlier part of August that the bear market rally came and popped up, and then it went down, then it popped up at the end of August, and kind of poked the S&P bar poked up a little bit. Then it rolled over and died. You can't make, you don't want to make a lot of decisions here based on what's going to happen, because I would suspect that the arms ratio is now going to start showing activity that's a little bit more frisky than you would expect for the bearish case. But it doesn't really prove anything, because in the end result is that a center post location of a new T has to be, or I think it always has been in the modern time period, so we're assuming it probably has to be on a low that's on the black line. In other words, it comes down to the black line, finds support, and that's the beginning of the new rally point. Or it has to be at the green line, like it was in March. And that really tells you that you kind of got to watch this thing bounce around a lot to find out, because it's not an easy problem to solve. That arms ratio just keeps coming out to tell me that there's a lot of bearishness that's coming out that's already built into the market. But you know, you just follow the discipline, and that's what you do, is you're going to find the T. But I think that most people are going to find this is quite difficult to do. I mean, I found it was difficult to do, and people who are just plain bearish are going to find it's difficult to do, because those arms ratio numbers are getting to be too high on too consistent a basis. So I would just leave it that it's not a simple problem to solve this. It looks like the market's going down, but you don't want to make any hasty judgments. Okay, so I think that's probably the most that I want to say today. I'm sure everything will turn out to be, we'll be able to figure this all out and it won't be a problem. But I would say that, you know, what happens next week, there can be a lot of cross currents, and I don't really think that any of them are going to make a, you know, they're not going to reach any definite conclusion on them. It's just going to be confusing. If I do see a T, I'd put up an update, but if it's just confusing, I'm not going to put it up, because there's no, that would just confuse the issue anymore. Okay, that's it for today. I'll be back next Sunday, and with anything important, I'll post an update, but that would have to be in the nature of the T forming. Bye-bye.